Hi, this is Mike Segovia, Director of Broadcast here at Family Talk. It's a new year, 2015. We pray blessings upon you and your family. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and as we begin 2015, we here at Family Talk want to cover a few topics that we feel could help you make the most out of the new year. Did you make any resolutions for this year? Did you put together any goals? What's your strategy for a successful 2015? One of the most common New Year's resolutions is related to getting a better handle on managing money. And to help all of us with our money management goals, we invited America's money expert, Dave Ramsey, and his daughter, Rachel Cruz, to share with us some practical ways to see financial success in the new year. We actually recorded these interviews along with several others during Dave Ramsey's Smart Conference earlier this year. I'm excited to share the rest of these interviews with you over the next few months, but for now, let's go to the interview with Dave Ramsey, and then later in the program, we'll go to our interview with Rachel Cruz on today's special New Year's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Our next guest is someone who I consider a really great friend, a man whom I admire, and I've really enjoyed our friendship over the past years. We're going to be talking with Dave Ramsey. As many of you know, Dave is the host of The Dave Ramsey Show, which is the number three talk show in the country. Pretty extraordinary. He is also the New York Times best-selling author of many books, including The Total Money Makeover, and his last book he wrote with his daughter titled Smart Money, Smart Kids. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's an honor to be with you, Meg. You too, Ryan. Good to be back with you guys. We're in person this time, though.
We're in person.
Last time we were over the phone or network or whatever we call that.
And last time you only had one grandbaby.
Yeah.
And now you're getting ready to have
another one on the way. Papa Dave is jacked up, I'm telling you.
Congratulations.
Ready to go.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
It is. We're having fun. Good times at the Ramseys.
Mm-hmm. You, Dave, you and Rachel have been touring for your Smart Money, Smart Kids book. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun to hear Rachel's side of the story and how you taught her to be financially responsible. And it dawned on me as I was listening to her, that took a lot of discipline from your standpoint, because as she got older, with all of us as parents, you're able to give your kids more and give your kids more. Was it hard for you as a dad to kind of make your kids work for things rather than just hand them things, or was it not hard?
You know, it really wasn't hard because I grew up working. I mean, Mom and Dad made us work. We always worked. We were a working family, kind of blue-collar, other side of the track folks in a way. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they taught me hard work. And you know, some of the greatest joys and the best dignity you have is from a job well done.
Yeah.
You're tired. I mean, I remember, you know, and I'm a little guy and I'm cutting grass, this tiny little yard on this little house we lived in when I was growing up. And I got to cut the front yard because it was level. And then when we finished and we had the bushes all weeded, we had a little routine. Dad and I would go stand in the street and look at the yard.
Oh.
And for just a minute, there's a moment there. And
yes.
Sometimes we'd even have Mom come out and brag on us and say, you guys, this really looks good. Good work.
But your dad came out to look at the work you'd done. That must have made you feel pretty good as a
yeah,
boy.
And I, you know, it stuck with me that work gives you dignity. And so I wanted to pass that gift to my kids. Mm-hmm. And you take that away from them when you just hand them everything.
Work is a gift, isn't it? Work is great.
It really, I mean, it's mm-hmm. a pain sometimes. But not knowing how to do it, it would be like having a child. You didn't teach them how to brush their teeth, or you didn't teach them to bathe, or you didn't teach them to study to get their grades. We make them do all of those things. And so these money lessons are kind of in that same category. For me, it just falls under the heading of parenting.
Mm. Dave, I asked Rachel a question that maybe you can answer as well. When my parents were first married and they had my sister and I when I was really little, there weren't that many toys. You know, you wouldn't go to a toy store and just, you know, have warehouses and warehouses and warehouses of toys. And so many things are made overseas in China. It's so cheap that buying my kids toys really isn't that big of a deal. It doesn't hurt our budget very much, but it's not necessarily good for them. Is it harder on new parents today because things are so readily available and so inexpensive? Is it harder for them to not spoil their kids?
Yeah, I think it is. And it's a small percentage of our budget versus
right.
like when I was a kid or even years later when you were a kid. A toy was a bigger purchase.
It was,
yeah. Purchasing a bicycle for Christmas was a big
deal.
Yeah.
And truthfully, wages have gone up faster than the cost of bicycles have gone up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bicycles
well,
don't cost much more than they did when I was a kid.
You got one bike. It was too big for you, and your dad would put blocks on the pedals, and it wouldn't fit.
And it had
right
one gear, too, by the way.
Yep. Yeah. And you'd grow into right. it years and years later, and now it's every time a kid grows, you just get a new bike.
You know, and we're that way as adults, too. The things that, you know, we used to have these things called appliance repair people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And now we don't have them anymore. You toss it. Who gets a DVD player repaired? You don't. You toss
don't.
It. It's
of
50
course.
Bucks. You get
That's
another
right.
one. You can't get it repaired for what it, you replace it for. And so the economies of scale and the economies around some of these purchases, toys included, they're out of date. You know, I mean, who plays with a Game Boy? Do our listeners even know what a Game Boy is?
That's my son does because I still have mine.
Yours, yeah. See,
yeah.
That's how old that is.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, they get out of date so quickly because they're electronic driven and that kind of thing. And the cost is low. So, yeah, you just kind of got to gauge that. And the trick is just don't try to teach your child that happiness comes from stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard in a culture that constantly is bombarding you with new and brighter and better and new and brighter and better. And marketing is so powerful and it works.
Oh, my God.
Chasing happiness that way is like the bully in the schoolyard. Happiness will back up, draw another line, and say, when you step across this line, we'll fight.
Yeah.
And happiness will do that. You just keep chasing it and keep chasing it, and you'll never catch it. It's elusive.
Mm. Meg, you just mentioned marketing. I saw a documentary on food, and they said if you give a child goldfish crackers and let them watch TV, they'll eat a certain amount. If you give them the same amount of goldfish crackers, but you let them watch children's programming with the commercials included, they eat 40% more.
You're kidding.
Because the psychologists know how to market to children to create a need inside of them.
To get them to
And that's why it's
it.
So insidious.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you've got your work cut out for you. Because your audience is adults who are overspending. They're in big debt. They've got credit card debt. As you've been doing this over the years, Dave, really pleading with parents and coaching parents on how to get control of their money, do you see things getting better or worse as far as our spending habits?
I see it separating. There are, for instance, someone was asking me the other day about millennials.
You yes.
know, what are you seeing with them? There's good news and bad news. The good news is there's no question about where a millennial stands on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
And they either are awesome or they're completely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they're that way with their money, too. They're all
okay.
in.
All
and
in
they're
or
smart,
all out.
And they're frugal or they're just dumber than a rock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so in a sense that it's very clear. Politics is the same way with them. Morals are the same way with them. You know, Scripture is the same way with them. They're either all in, they're all out on today's issues.
Mm. Right.
You know, and so you can call and you know when you've got one that's coachable, you can take them a long, long way. So I see that as good news.
Yeah. So you feel like you're making headway.
I don't know if I am, but in general,
you're
I think
teaching.
Headway can be
you're
made.
You're teaching because you are your teaching is clearly counterculture.
Oh, definitely. But I can help that one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the guy that completely personifies. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't knock somebody in the head hard enough to get them to do it against their will.
So you don't worry
cramming
about
it down their throat.
They're just
going
to come running in droves when they're ready. And there's so many that are ready.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with trying to argue with somebody who's not ready. I'm not going to get time to argue with you. I'm going to go help somebody who's ready.
Yeah.
It's got to be
kind
of rewarding to be at this point in your career and have that be available instead of it being day one and you shouting out to this wilderness saying, are you ready to hear this yet?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that from day one, since the stuff we teach, just like you guys teach, is rooted in God's word, from day one, it rang the bell of truth in their heart.
Mm. Yes.
And they weren't hearing Dave Ramsey. They weren't going, oh, I'm going to do this because of Dave Ramsey. And they weren't even really doing it because the Bible said, but they were doing it because when you say some of these things, you go, oh, yeah.
Mm. Right.
Borrower, slave to the lender. Yeah, I got that.
That's
I'm
true.
Tired of this car payment. The student loan's been around so long, I think it's a pet.
Ooh,
I get
goodness.
That, you know? Yeah. And it rings the bell of your heart, and you don't have to be a name for Scripture, the truth of Scripture, to ring people's hearts.
Yeah, right. You don't have to convince. You don't have to argue. You don't have to defend. You just say it.
You just brought up student loan. Student loan is the most collectible debt in the United States. If you file bankruptcy, it doesn't take away your student loan. To those that are, you know, the parents that are thinking about their kids' college education or kids that are thinking about going to college, can you talk about the wise choice when going to college in regards to debt?
Well, Rachel often quotes me when I say that student loan debacle is really a parenting problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because moms and dads, and Meg taught me this. I mean, she and I have been friends a long time. But you still have to speak into an 18 to a 20-year-old's life. Their brain is not fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
And that, all joking aside, that's not an insult. That's an actual medical fact.
Yes.
And so a guy called me from Michigan one time. He said, what am I going to do? My son's telling me he's going to go to this expensive school. What am I going to do? I said, well, you just started with the wrong problem. My 18-year-old son's not going to tell me anything. I tell him stuff. That's how this works. So especially when he's going with my money.
Wait, you're the parent?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like,
whoa,
in charge. Wow. You're a control freak, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, so you take the child, their children, by the hand, and you say, I'm older, uglier, and wiser. I've been there. No, you cannot go $200,000 in debt to get a PhD in German polka history. You are going to be useless in the economy, and you're going to live your whole life trying to get out of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk them down, and you go, honey, I'm a single mom. We don't have the money for you to go to this expensive school. And no, you can't go in debt to do it. So you're going 2 years to community college, and you're going to work while you're there. And I'm going to work an extra job and help you. And I'm going to stay on you till you get the scholarships. And we're going to parent you through this choice together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you hearing back from families that are doing that? I mean, I know a couple right now. They both went to med school. They're both doctors, and they have the potential to do amazingly well. And I think between the two of them, they have $350,000 in debt. And mm-hmm. I just... even saying it makes my palms sweat.
When you're 30 years old, that's a big deal.
Well, neither of them are 30. They're in their late 20s. Mm. That debt is crushing.
Yeah,
I mean, I talked to a lady the other day, 32 years old. She's got $200,000 in debt on her law degree, and she just had a baby that's got Asperger's. And so she said, I need to be home with my baby. What am I going to do? I said, your choices. You took your choices away.
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know, I guess you're going to be a lawyer.
Right.
Is what you're going to be.
Right.
You already decided that.
Right.
See, people, when they do these things, they project into the future that only the best possible scenario is going to happen.
Right.
Right.
And it's like students, you know, 52% of the people who start four-year degrees finish.
Mm.
48% do not finish.
Ooh. Wow.
And
but they 100%, still have the debt.
100% that take out student loans still got the student loans.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
I think, I wonder if there's something else operating too, and that is I run into kids, young people in their 20s who have debt who really don't believe they need to pay it back. Have you ever, I mean, debt to them is, well, that's money that I owe, but if I can't pay it back, oh well. I mean, it's almost like reality of, hey, someone's knocking at your door ready to take your house away or your apartment away is around the corner. You know, maybe that's just some of that immature thinking too.
It is, but it also comes back to this whole parenting thing that you do such a good job with. Because here's the thing. What has happened there is that someone who feels entitled.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I breathe air and I walk around and I'm an American, no one should have to put up with what I'm putting up with, so I'm not going to pay it.
Right.
It's inconvenient for me and I'm not going to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, we called those kids spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiled is like when you open up the refrigerator at the lake house and you haven't been there for 6 months and the milk is in there and the whole thing reeks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, those people that feel that, have that sense of it, there's an arrogance that goes with entitlement. The opposite of that is gratitude versus entitlement. And gratitude starts with humility.
Yeah.
And so that comes all the way back to a societal thing, a Dr. James Dobson thing called parenting.
Yes.
Totally. Dave, we're in the beginning of 2015. For those listening, what would you describe as a successful year financially? If people are in January right now and they're thinking, I want to have a successful financial year this year, what would your definition of that be?
Progress. And the way you measure progress is your budget. So you do a written plan. And you say, here's where I am today, and at the end of the year, here's where I want to be. And we're actually happening to the money instead of the money happening to us.
Mm.
We're not wandering along like Gomer Pyle on Valium. You know, wake up and go, Shazam, I'm broke. You know, so you just, you have to have a written plan on paper, on purpose, and we're progressing through a plan. Mm-hmm. You could say the same thing about your physical fitness. You know, you start the year at 350 pounds, you're overweight, you're obese. Okay, now what would be a successful year? It wouldn't be necessarily you come out of the year completely cut. Right. And you know, and have lost every bit of the weight, but you're making progress in the right direction rather than ending the year 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Dave, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Love the Smart Conference. We've been recommending it to people.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see the next one. Thanks
it
for being here.
It is a dynamo, and it's mm-hmm. it's an honor to be here, and it's just so much fun. I wish we had a couple more hours to talk with you, and Smart Conferences are just, I can't say enough about them.
Well, Meg, you make them. You're one of the rock stars on the lineup, man. It's a dream
thank
team.
You.
So
thank you.
Thank you guys for having us, and thanks for joining us here at the Smart Conference.
No, absolutely. You're welcome. Thank you. This is Dr. Meg Meeker, and as I mentioned at the top of today's program, we also had the opportunity to interview Rachel Cruz about how to win with money in 2015. So let's go to that interview now. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with my co-host, Ryan Dobson, and the two of us are recording our program today at Dave Ramsey's Smart Conference in Los Angeles, California. So that is really fun. Our next guest is a great woman, a very gifted and talented woman, and a very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She is a co-author of Smart Money, Smart Kids, and she wrote this along with her dad. She's also a great speaker, and she has spoken to tens of thousands of college students and millennials across the country. Rachel, thanks for coming on Family Talk.
Oh, thank you guys for having me back and in person. I love this.
I know,
finally,
to
see
right?
you guys.
We've been on the phone a few times.
Yes,
now we're in person.
I know.
I was
it's
just
such
watching
an honor
you.
For you both.
I mean, tens of thousands. You were in front of 6,000 plus 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
Here at the Shrine Auditorium.
Well, you are about to move into a period of your life where you are going to live what you've been writing about.
Yes, I know.
Smart money, smart kids.
I know, and I wrote the book. My part is the perspective of the kid, you know, growing
yes.
up in a house where money was talked about. So I speak on behalf of the kids, and then dad is the parent. So I was laughing at dad. I was like, Dad, I'm going to have to reread Smart Money, Smart Kids
yeah.
and actually read your part. You know,
yes.
like actually
yeah.
read the parent part and see.
Right.
Do you feel more pressure? I mean, you have to. Your dad's Dave Ramsey. I mean, I get that because my dad's James Dobson.
Yes.
When you're out and you're paying for something, you know someone's looking over your shoulder going, does she have the envelopes? Are there envelopes in your wallet? Oh,
yeah.
You're not doing envelopes. You're just paying with money. I see how.
Right,
yeah.
right.
And now that you've got kids and you've written the book,
yes.
Smart Money, Smart Kids, do you feel more pressure thinking, I mean, in a few years, I'm going to really have to actually practice what I preach?
Yes. Well, I know this is so cliche. Everyone's like, of course you're Dave Ramsey's daughter and you think about this. But I did. I genuinely was like, oh my gosh, what if she grows up and gets a credit card? She'll be the yeah. first Ramsey that has a credit card, you know, for three generations. You know, I have had these thoughts of like, oh my gosh, what if our kids are the one, you know? But mom and dad did so great with us where there was not this pressure of us to perform, you know, financially or, you know, I mean, they taught us that we have a responsibility and there's a platform in mm-hmm. that. If you do something, you're on the front page of the newspaper. You know, I mean, like there are some certain responsibilities, but you know, I bounce checks, I overspend. I mean,
oh,
I, you
yeah.
know,
oh,
I,
my.
You know,
yeah.
I made mistakes
yeah.
and I'm so thankful that it was not this shaming. It's because I'm Dave Ramsey. I'm disappointed. It's more of, I'm your dad. Let
your
me
dad.
Guide you and show
yeah.
you differently. So
how old were you when you bounced your first check?
I was 15. I bounced
right.
three.
Yeah.
In a row.
I did it
so
in high school,
bad.
Too. I was probably 15. Yeah.
Yes.
Teaching kids effort and teaching kids how to work is extremely important. Rachel,
I bet both of our dads were strong on that one.
Yeah,
yes,
I
that's
bet.
Right.
Work.
That's right.
The
work.
Value
You're
of work.
Work. What do you think is the biggest mistake parents make with money in raising their kids? Is it made during the early years, made during the teen years? I know there are a lot of mistakes, but just for our listeners so they kind of know.
I think an important attitude that some parents miss is the attitude of gratefulness.
Okay.
And I think teaching your kids to be grateful. I think we talked about this maybe a little bit last time.
Yeah.
But I think gratefulness at its core is such an attractive quality for a child to have. When a child can look at you and say thank you and genuinely mean it, I think that's
Do
so...
Do you remember how your parents taught you that?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think the attribute leading up to gratitude is humility. And I love C.S. Lewis's quotes, like one of my favorites, where he said, you know, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so where it's other people are, you know, are in this world and the access of the world doesn't run through the top of your head, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think teaching us that, and I think it kind of goes back to the parenting philosophy that we weren't the center at every becking, waking call is my parents' life. And I think, you know, giving as well as a child, learning to live with an open hand, giving, even the action of putting a dollar out of our little give envelope into the offering plate at church. You know, we probably didn't grasp it, but at the time, what that does after months and years of that is that starts to be a heart change.
So what do you do to parents who say, but my daughter doesn't want to give that dollar away? Do you make them anyway, even though they don't want to?
Well, your daughter doesn't always want to brush her teeth, yeah. but you make her brush her teeth. Yeah. Your daughter doesn't
so
want to study, but
you're forming good habits.
You are. I mean, yeah. you don't let them walk around smelly and disgusting. You make, yeah, because what you're doing is, Andy Andrews says, you're not just trying to raise good kids, you're trying to raise kids who become great adults.
That's right.
Yes.
So how do you raise a good, you force it. Yeah. And then I think if the attitude doesn't come, you have another issue,
a heart issue
after all. But you know, as kids, I'm sure there were weeks. I mean, I would 100% say that there were weeks where like, no, I'd rather take that dollar and not put it in my little give envelope, and I'd rather just spend it. You know, I mean, that's inclined in all of us because naturally we're sinful and selfish, and that's, you know,
we want what we want.
Yeah, our inclination. But that forcement of, no, this is required first. And you do that over and over. That's when your heart changes. And I think that's when you see, okay, there's other needs before me. And teaching that humility, which I think leads to just being grateful for where you are in life and what you have. And I think that leads to contentment overall.
Yeah.
And
the contentment is so important.
Especially today.
You know, that's when you ask someone, you know, how much is enough? A little bit more.
Exactly.
Well, then it's never ending.
Yeah.
I found out that my dad in the, I think it was the early 70s, calculated how much he needed to make to live comfortably. And then just decided to give away every penny after that.
Really?
Yeah. He's been doing that for the last 40 years where it's just, well, we don't need more than that.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely, yes.
And it's made them totally content and grateful for everything they have. And it passed on down to us where, you know, we're thrilled with where we're at.
We've started a new year now, Rachel, and I would like to ask you, how can our listeners who might be making New Year's resolutions make really healthy decisions about their money in the upcoming year?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for everyone out there, I mean, just gaining control of your money, everything from the logistics of living on a budget, getting out of debt.
Have to write it down.
These things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A budget. Mm. Yes. Be intentional with your money. So many people, their money just happens to them their entire life. But if you turn around and say, no, I'm going to happen to my money, you'll feel like you got a raise. And it's amazing the progress you can create from saving and getting out of debt when you're just intentional with it. So I think, you know, for people to get their finances in order, make that a goal. And the beautiful thing is that more is caught than taught. Yeah. And so your example, as you're doing this process with your money, your kids, if you have kids, they're going to see that. And so there doesn't have to be an intentional, you know, mutual fund budget meeting summit every weekend with your kids to teach them about money. You know, it's amazing. Your actions and what you have, your kids are going
to
pick up on.
And your kids have to be around enough, at home enough to see you do that.
Exactly,
so you don't
exactly.
You be shipping up.
Part of the dynamic.
Hey, Rachel, before we go, I keep hearing... Anytime I hear money talk, people go, oh, you know, the Starbucks is $5. And if you just cut out one a week or whatever, then you're going to do. I heard someone talking about this recently. It's a big money guy. And he said, yeah, but no one ever does it. No one ever does that. Is that something that people actually do? I know some people do, but is it making enough of a difference? Why is it that something that seems so simple, yet people are like, yeah, but I'm not doing that?
I would say I think people $5 themselves to death. Constantly. Mm. So yes, I do. I think it's just this flippant, oh, we're going to buy this and this and this. And yeah, in that day, it just may be $10. But then you multiply that over days and weeks and months and
years.
So
people really lose wealth by $5 a day.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, majority of wealthy people, they didn't make it all on their Discover points on their credit card, or they didn't win the lottery. You know what I mean? It's not this random act. It was a very deliberate act. And so I think when you have a goal, you know, to save up for an emergency fund or to get out of debt or something you're working towards, it's easier to turn down the $5 Starbucks. You know, but once you've gotten to a place where you are have a great foundation under you, you know, you're funding retirement, you're doing great things, then the $5 thing doesn't matter. You're able to go pay $5 for Starbucks and pay for the person behind you, and it's not a big deal. But having that goal of whatever it is financially, I think that makes it easier to cut the Starbucks and to say no because you're reaching for something.
Awesome. Rachel, you've been amazing. I love watching you on stage here at the Shrine and at the Smart Conference, and I recommend this to everyone. I can't wait to watch you, Dr. Meeker,
Thank you. Close
it out today. Thanks for being here and for all that you're doing, and congratulations on your little baby.
Thank you, guys. Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor to sit
across
from you, too.
Love you guys.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that everyone listening today is encouraged to get a better handle on their money this year, and that each of you have walked away from our program with a few practical ideas for how you can win with money in 2015.
We've been listening to a program titled Financial Success in the New Year here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about the Ministry of Family Talk or to contact us, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call at 877-732-6825. This is Dr. Meg Meeker wishing all of you a Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.